Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host.
Welcome back to the Whence Came You Masonic podcast. I'm your host, Brother Jack Aquilina, and as you may have noticed, I am your special guest host today as part of the series that has been run by Right Worshipful Brother Robert Johnson to invite guest hosts to have the privilege and honour to host this wonderful and famous podcast and get the opportunity to speak to each and every one of you, our listeners. And I have to say from the outset, it really is an honour for me. As you may have noticed, I'm not American. I'm from Victoria in Australia, all the way down under. And we do have so much to thank Robert Johnson for the work that he's done for Freemasonry. Now, I'm the host of my own podcast, the Brought to Light Masonic Podcast, and that really is the child of this podcast. That is a product of the fact that Right Worshipful Brother Robert Johnson has inspired Freemasons all around the world with his hard work, ethic, and innovation, which has resulted in us being able to enjoy the same privilege of hosting a show with our own listeners down under. So, to Right Worshipful Brother Robert Johnson, before we get into any discussion today, I want to say thank you for the opportunity and privilege of being able to host this show. I'm more nervous now hosting this than I ever have been hosting one of our own shows, but the privilege is immense. And friends, as you all know, as listeners of this show, the world would be indispensable without Robert Johnson. The world is in a situation where Freemasonry is needed more now than ever, and without people like Rob, our organisations are not going to survive. So it's an immense privilege to know you, Rob, and it's also an immense privilege to be able to host your show. Today, guys, I thought what I'd do is share with you a chapter of an article that I'm writing for the Victorian Lodge of Research, which, as you may have sort of picked up in the name, is the premier research body for Masonic studies here in the Southern Hemisphere. The Victorian Lodge of Research has been around for a long time. It has a six-monthly program where it hosts guest speakers, and ultimately, I was privileged enough to be invited on the 27th of April this year to present a paper on a topic of my own choosing to a number of esteemed and learned brethren who not only know their stuff but are also highly critical in the academic sense in terms of assessing ideas. So what I thought I would do, since I've finished writing the first part of my paper, was to share a chapter from that paper which focuses on the changing role of women in society and how that's affected or could potentially affect the future challenges for Freemasonry. So before we go into a reading of that chapter, I thought I'd set up and paint the picture for you and set out what exactly has informed the paper that I've written. I've entitled this paper Completing Our Allotted Task While It's Yet Still Day. The subheading is a quantitative and qualitative analysis of the impact of contemporary 21st century society on Freemasonry and the principles that should underpin the fraternity's future relevance in the lives of man. And as that sort of title indicates, this paper's design is not to sort of provide a historical analysis of why our membership woes are what they are, but rather to set up some of the major cultural, political, economic, and historical changes that have happened over the last 50 years that will set up the future challenges we face in the future. It's broken up into two parts. The first part sets out the challenges, and the second part sets out what I like to call the principal pillars that will need to underpin the orthodoxy and culture of our craft in the future should we hope to be relevant and should we hope to continue to grow and prosper. Now, when I say grow, I'm not necessarily saying membership numbers have to grow astronomically. I don't think we ever want to get back to the days where we had hundreds of thousands of members in single jurisdictions. In Victoria, where the United Grand Lodge of Victoria is, where I'm based, we have 8,500 members, down from a significant amount, 60-odd thousand, not that long ago. Now, I'm not too depressed about the numbers. I think that, as Robert Johnson has said, and the incoming Grand Master of Freemasons Victoria has also said, the focus has to be on quality over quantity. And what this paper tries to do is articulate through academic, quantitative analysis an opportunity to identify the challenges that will exist, the cultural realities we need to face and understand, so we can then, without infringing on the ancient landmarks, adapt our organisation into the future. So today's reading is more really a taste or a teaser of some of the analysis I've done in my first chapter on the changing role of women, and I hope that it prompts you to reflect on maybe some of the changes that exist in your life and society around you and give you an idea of some of the, and inspire you hopefully to think of some of the solutions that we need for our time. So without further ado, I'll get into the reading of the first chapter of my paper, completing our allotted task while it's yet still day. Part 1. A Changing World for an Inviolable Craft. Chapter 1. The Changing Role of Women and Its Impact on the Role and Identity of the 21st Century Man. In the United States of the 1960s, women who had reached the age of 60 had spent, on average, 11 of the last 40 years of their adult life participating in the labour force. This average had increased to 16 years by the year 1990, 20 years in the year 2000, and 26 years in the year 2010, with the average expected to reach a near parity with that of men by the close of the fourth decade of the 21st century. Currently, in Australia, women make up 59% of the workforce, up from 52% in 1990. Further, labour force participation of Australian women between the ages of 25 to 64 has seen an average significant increase from 35% in 1966 to the current rate of 72.93%. This significant and rapid expansion of women into the labour force across the West is representative of the enormous shift in the cultural and economic role of female citizens in all aspects of Western society. What is sometimes described as the feminist wave, or an ideological shift in the paradigm of political and cultural gender practices, has been analysed and examined by an innumerable quantity of scholars who have often celebrated post-feminist thought and theory. Little, if any, substantive work, however, has been dedicated to analysing the consequential effects that the rapid changes in gender roles has had on men in society, particularly with respect to man's membership or prospective interest in fraternal societies. Goldscheider, however, provides a practical and refined theory that seeks to define and understand this immense period of change that the role of women has experienced in society, entitled Gender Revolution Theory. This theory suggests that the changing role of women in society rests on their economic independence. Whilst it is acknowledged that a multifaceted number of variables are likely to have contributed to the changing role of women in society, Goldscheider's thesis that the growing economic power of women in the marketplace and in the labour force has underpinned such changes is compelling. Viewing the gender revolution through the prism of economic factors affecting the decision-making of families and the traditional role of men is likely to be essential to understanding the challenges and opportunities that exist for the modern craft. As such, this chapter will consider the consequences of the gender revolution as it relates to the effects on the role of men in society. The family unit is an essential component of civilized society that has been correctly referred to as a building block of our modern social and political fabric. The family structure is highly influential, particularly as an influencer in our society's cultural practices, economy, and political governance. There is barely a discipline or subject in social sciences, law, and economics that does not seek to understand and theorize about the influence and power of the family unit, and therefore it is necessary for Freemasonry to also consider its importance. There are 6.7 million families in Australia, 85% of which are couple families, in which 58% of these families have children. Extensive statistical data and research conducted by Worshipful Brother John Ruark of the Patriot Lodge, number 1957 of Virginia, United States of America, reveals that the craft has also a substantial base of members who belong to couple and childbearing families. According to Worshipful Ruark's research, discussed in an interview in 2017, 73% of United States brethren are married, with 70% of those relationships being childbearing. Research conducted by Brandhook, as commissioned by Freemasons Victoria in January 2017, supports this finding, with graph data suggesting that members of the craft in Victoria, Australia, are overwhelmingly married or widowed, with both of these indica significantly exceeding the Australian national average. One of the major consequences of the gender revolution has been the effects that have flowed from women moving away from domestic duties towards pursuing lifelong professional careers in the labour market. This has resulted in women acquiring a stronger bargaining position within the family unit, with the role of economic provider becoming part of the female identity. Traditional marriages and couple relationships were shaped around family members of the family unit embodying and fulfilling traditional gender roles, such as the male being the sole economic provider and the female being the childbearer and master of domestic affairs. This cultural practice traditionally resulted in a male identity that was seen to be less involved in the lives of children of the marriage in conjunction with a significant economic imbalance between husband and wife, where the latter was substantially economically dependent on the former. The gender revolution has substantially changed this traditional reality, resulting in significant changes to the norms and values that have traditionally informed the identity and cultural expectations of men in society. The most substantial changes to the role of men in families can be summarized as follows. 1. The balancing of the economic power between male and female partners to marriage. 2. The decline in economic dependence-based retention of marriage between partners. And 3. The reasons why couples get married in the first place. The emergence of economic equity between male and female partners has had significantly impacted on the role of men. Whilst men still consider their role as breadwinner to be essential to their masculinity, this idea can no longer be said to be in accordance with current cultural practice and reality. The effect of this is naturally substantial, as not only does this result in significant practical changes to the family unit, it is also likely to strike at the core of modern men's self-understanding, especially in light of a large cultural gap that arises between the post-gender revolution man and his predecessors. This resulting generational isolation is unlikely to be positive to men's search for purpose and identity, which is likely to further exacerbate the practical challenges that the gender revolution has created for the modern man in the family unit. A significant practical challenge is the decline in the economic dependence of women on their male spouses. It has been suggested that this lack of relationship of economic dependence has resulted in greater bargaining power for women in marriages and a change in cultural understanding of why marriages are entered into in the first place. Dealing firstly with the concept of the greater bargaining power of women in marriage, the consequential effects of this are primarily associated with new pressures placed on fathers to play a more active role in the lives of their children as opposed to traditional marriages. Quantitative data and academic research has demonstrated that men are being expected to increase their engagement in family responsibilities comparable to women. Further, the same data suggests that unlike males in traditional marriages, today's man is likely to be a more active participant in the lives of their children and willing to adopt the added pressures of domestic duties that attach. This change in cultural norm has caused significant anxieties for men who fear not spending enough time with their children, especially for fathers who have spent more hours away from home in the paid workforce than their wives. Such balancing between the traditional role of man as breadwinner and the new cultural expectation that he be more active in childbearing and domestic activities has resulted in work-family conflict that has been negatively associated with the breadth of activities a man does with his children, the less time he spends with his spouse, the lower marital quality experienced due to the high gender role overload, and the overall less positive involvement in the family unit. Paradoxically, men, as a result of the gender revolution, are intent on spending more time dedicated to childbearing and domestic duties, whilst also trying to preserve their role as breadwinner. This is made more paradoxical and difficult in light of the fact that despite women preferencing to be married, that due to their new found economic independence, they are no longer required to remain married to prevent personal economic impoverishment. It is now a fact that in the post-gender revolution society that weak marriages, or marriages under substantial pressure, are now at much greater risk of dissolution as a result of women being able to leave with less fear and men being able to get a divorce with less guilt. Modern couples are increasingly shaping marriages based on sharing not only the economic responsibilities, but also the domestic and parenting responsibilities, which inevitably results in a greater sharing of the relationship maintenance responsibilities that are such a large part of the family unit. In traditional marriages, because of the cultural practice of the times and the economic reality of female economic dependency, men could exert greater control and pursue their self-interest, even if detrimental to the marriage, in reliance of the female bearing the relationship maintenance responsibilities. Where in the past, membership of organizations such as Freemasonry might have been detrimental to childbearing or marital relations, men could avoid these adverse consequences of marital neglect and instead delegate relationship maintenance responsibilities to their female spouse. Traditional men could rely on the fact that a breakdown of the marriage was unlikely to occur when he prioritizes his own interests due to the cultural practices of the times and his wife's substantial economic dependence. Putting it frankly, the days of traditional marriage being the mainstream of practice in Australia and around the world are long gone, and modern men today are facing a crisis of identity and societal function. This, in conjunction with the likely self-imposed pressures on men to be more active in domestic and childbearing activities, with the knowledge that divorce is not unavoidable due to the near economic parity of strength between family partners. Marriages are under more pressure now than they have ever been, and men are now expected to contribute more emotion, time, energy, and physical presence in the active maintenance of the family unit in light of the decline of the single expectation of their pure economic contribution prior to the gender revolution. In the author's opinion, the cultural changes and expectations of women in marriage has also altered marriages or relationships that continue to exhibit traditional characteristics such as the sole male wage earner. The gender revolution is likely to have embodied in women a new sense of expectation and cultural perspective that is likely to exert new pressures on men regardless as to whether or not they are the sole income earner. The major factor of change being that in today's world, women who are economically dependent on their husbands can break away to become economically independent, which is different to the options available to women of traditional marriage prior to the gender revolution. Therefore, the consequential impacts men are experiencing in the post-gender revolution world should be seen as applying to all modern marriages, rather than where there exists economic equity between partners. One might ask, how is any of this theory and analysis relevant to the future strength of Freemasonry? Our current membership and our prospective members are men who have either already belonging to such family units, or will be during the course of their membership. Therefore, the implications of the gender revolution on men is substantially important if our organisation is to understand the challenges it creates, and more importantly, to formalise solutions. Freemasonry, like any volunteer organisation, presents barriers to entry of prospective members, some of which is utilised as a deliberate filter, and others of which are unintentionally affected. Successful Masonic membership requires a man to devote resources in the form of time, commitment, and finances. At the very least, participatory members will need to set aside an evening or two a month for formal Masonic activities, contribute financially to the lodge and associated charities to upkeep membership, and devote portions of his leisure time to improving and enhancing his Masonic skills in order to make his membership worthwhile. The basic but inherent requirements of participation in the craft are challenged significantly by the results of the gender revolution and the modern family unit. The nature of modern marriages necessarily results in demands on men, both as a measure of practical and more intangible emotional resources that are significant, which in turn creates less room for commitment to volunteer activities. The family budget is also a shared, if not female-dominated realm, with women exercising more constraint on and involvement in family economic decisions, particularly the use of discretionary expenditure. This creates added complications for a man's approach to or for the maintenance of their Masonic membership. In an age where economics dictates the habits of individuals, it is not unrealistic for cultural norms to shape the family budget. How does a man struggling to manage traditional perceptions of his role as a family provider and modern notions of him being a committed childbearer justify to an economically empowered female spouse the use of such discretionary resources for membership of an organisation that is likely to detract from the aforementioned modern male gender duties? This is not to say that all women see no value in such membership or are inherently restrictive of their male counterparts' activities, but rather it's to highlight the reality that the conversation and thought process associated with any decision to join the craft in the post-gender revolution world is much more complex. Marriage is more fragile than it has ever been, and the modern man has good reasons to be anxious to make more significant sacrifices to shore his marriage's longevity. Research may give us an insight into the motivations behind this anxiety, where it has been demonstrated that men suffer significant differences in their quality of life when they are unmarried as opposed to married. In fact, married men have a much lower rate of mortality than those living alone, with the risk of death being 2.4 times as great for men aged 55 to 64 who are living alone than those who are in married relationships. Therefore, the disincentives associated with pursuing Masonic membership especially where women spouses may feel excluded or not invested in the tangible and intangible benefits of their husband's membership, is more difficult to manage now than it has ever been. This inevitably results in men either failing to join the craft at all during their lifetime or resigning / being excluded from the craft due to their perceived inability to find time, quotation marks, or balance their membership in increasingly complex cultural norms relating to masculinity and fatherhood. The challenges of the enormous shift in cultural practices relating to the family unit and gender roles has had unimaginable impacts on both current and prospective members of the craft. Men, undoubtedly, are living in a time of significant soul-searching, a generation in between the practices of the traditional path and the developing changes of the gender revolution. The challenges created by these changes should not be underestimated. However, as will be submitted in part 2 of this paper, they can be overcome should the craft be willing to adapt and adjust its practices and once more again ensure men, with the support of their female partners, feel comfortable becoming members of the world's largest fraternity. Well, I hope you enjoyed that chapter of my paper, completing our allotted task while it's yet still day. What you will have noticed throughout that chapter is I was making a number of assertions and referring to quantitative data. Now, a lot of that isn't just assertive. In fact, if you check out the show notes, I have given Rob Johnson a copy of that part of my paper where there is listed a number of references, and I'm using Oxford-style referencing, which is what we use here in Australia, to give you direct links to all the papers, research, data, and analysis that has underpinned my assertions. But let's have a quick thought bubble about what some of the consequences of this mean. So as I discussed with the paper, the gender revolution has really been underpinned by the gain in economic strength and equity of female citizens in society. Now, putting aside the political debates, we're not going to obviously go into that or comment on maybe issues with gender disparity in income, etc., but nonetheless, compared to the 1960s at the very least, women have a sense of economic empowerment that they've never had in history. This has resulted in a change in the family unit. It's absolutely undermined the traditional role of men in society. So of course it's going to have an impact on Freemasonry. You have to ask yourself, what are things that we can do to not only justify membership to men, but to their female counterpart? This is where I feel the solution is. This is where I feel the principal pillars of change are going to be embedded. In a need for our organisations to make women feel as though the investment of their husband's time in our organisation is not only a benefit to them, but an indispensable benefit to the character of their husband and indirectly to their families. That is what's fundamentally important. So ultimately, when looking at this analysis, I guess one of the things that we can come to, one of the arrangements that we can look at doing, is creating a lodge or a culture or an environment that is much more inclusive now than it has ever been. Now, I'm not talking about female membership of Freemasonry. I think that that would be inappropriate, and I think that under the circumstances, preserving our fraternal status is probably one of the most important things we can do, especially in light of all the stuff I've just discussed about the changing role of women. But what we need to look at is a cultural shift towards better selling and better justifying the tangible and intangible benefits of Masonic membership. So I hope that paper has enabled you to have some thought-provoking thoughts, and I also hope that it's been able to lead to maybe an internal reflection about what it is we do as an organisation, as individuals, as lodges, as districts, whatever it may be, to really ensure that in light of the revolutionary changes in economics and culture that have affected the role of men, that we're making Freemasonry as attractive and as comfortable as it needs to be. So friends, that does my quick 30-minute segment for the Whence Came Your Masonic podcast. Once again, I'd like to thank Right Worshipful Robert Johnson for allowing me to be able to be a guest host for this episode, and it's been a lot of fun and a privilege to be able to host an episode of a podcast which really has been influential in my life, and I know with all the listeners out there, probably yours as well. So thank you again, Right Worshipful Brother Robert Johnson, for that opportunity. You may have heard in a previous episode of the Whence Came Your Masonic podcast and elsewhere a discussion about the world's fastest growing youth Masonic initiative, which is about the recruitment, retention, education support of young Freemasons all around the world. And we exist in Illinois, the Blue Lounge Social Club of the state of Illinois, headed up by Worshipful Brother Bobby Mitchell and his team. Check them out. Jump on blueloungesc.com. You can contact Bobby there and get involved. If you think the grassroots Freemasonry could really use a boost and we could build the capacity of the young leaders of tomorrow in Illinois, then get in touch with the Blue Lounge team and we'd be greatly appreciative to have you on board. My name is Brother Jack Aquilina. I'm the host of the Brought to Light Masonic podcast and all the way from Melbourne in Victoria, Australia. And I wish you all the best and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Be sure to join us for our next edition.